ever get those days that take you back to your childhood? Not in that sunbathed nostalgia way, but in that get me the hells out of here kind of way. When I was a kid, I had a love-hate relationship with the stage. As in, I loved skipping out on plays and hated going to them. My mother thought it would give me a bit of culture, but I despised every minute of it. Especially the matinee productions meant for school children. The songs were repetitive, the costumes were garish, and I could never get past the overly dramatic gestures. Like the grown-ups on stage were trying to be ragdolls or cartoons. It's like they were pretending to be children for us. And when you were seeing one as a school outing, that just added a whole new layer to the nightmare. Without fail, by the time Peter Pan made it to the stage, someone would have peed themselves or puked in the aisle. Something sticky would end up on the armrest. That one kid would yammer away the whole time and the school bullies would kick the chairs in front of them. Unless their shoelaces caught on fire, that is. Not that I ever did that. On purpose. More than once. Allegedly. Personally, if I were in the character's shoes, I wouldn't want my life played out as some laughable parody of reality. My voice is my own. If I'm going to tell anyone about it, it's going to be my telling, or no one's at all. Well, that was a massive waste of time.
And collateral damage.
Don't remind me. Next time someone wants us to track down a missing satyr on holiday, remind me to turn that job down.
Especially if they were last seen in a thrift store.
Ugh, especially then.
At least we still get a paycheck instead of a bill.
I've already got plans for my share.
I hope it involves catching up on some utilities.
You take the fun out of everything sometimes, you know that?
I know.
Besides, we still need to replace that mini fridge Zero-Day borrowed.
Hey, Thread. Guess what I just found out?
Oi! Did you just give up on knocking altogether? I have a door for a reason.
You invited me in.
No, I definitely did not.
Yeah, you did. Pretty sure it was a Thursday.
I'm getting a headache already. It's a new record for you.
Sweet.
Zero, what did you find out?
Remember that theater where you took care of those ghosts?
You mean the Sask Express building?
Yeah, that one. Apparently, it's been booked for a play open only to supernaturals.
Oh, really? What's it about?
I am so glad you asked.
I'm not. You know he's going to ask you out again.
Yeah, I know. I'm just going to turn him down again.
Hey, at least let me ask first.
Ha!
Anyway, the plot. Is it thick?
About as thick as an IP on leg day.
What?
See, it's about the singing clown who eats his checks and tries to make pennies from static. He gets this job that's too emo short of a server farm and has to go full Naruto just to get the BBG to do like compact.
What?
Hold on. Is it
based on Wiggly here? Totally.
I repeat. What?
Like I said.
Actually, Threadripper, can you translate?
Somebody wrote a musical about your life that's highly detailed and probably way wrong. Also, the villain just up and disappears.
I can't wait to see the look on your face when you see how bad it is.
The musical?
Your life! But sure, the musical's probably gonna suck.
I'm not going.
There are two tickets getting sent straight to Eris that say you are.
Tickets are already on sale?
How did you find out Eris bought tickets?
They're not, and she didn't.
Zero.
Fine. I hacked in the MAD system and saw the details. They got the place reserved, filed the permits, and registered the script for copyright. I set up a bug to automatically send two tickets your girlfriend's way as soon as showtimes get posted.
Why were you hacking? I don't want to know. I really don't want to know.
You didn't have anyone interview you for a play while I was out of town, did you?
No, I... Hold on a tick. No. No, I did not. Zero, did you write this thing?
Someone named A. Harris. Probably a pseudonym. They're the writer, director, composer, producer, and dramaturg.
Whatever that is.
I didn't think people could just do a play about someone else's life.
They can't. Not without contracts and a price tag. Come on.
Wait, where are we going?
The theater. If they're using my life without my permission, I'm at least getting paid for it.
Are you going to beat up a playwright? Please tell me you're going to beat up a playwright.
I'm going to find that dramaturg and beat them until they tell me what a dramaturg does.
I am so there.
Hey, you two. Wait for me.
Honestly, the news is pretty upsetting. Yeah, I get mad that someone else is making money off of me. But even worse, they're doing that without so much as talking to me. I'll do my best to calm down as we make our way to Sask Express. Sure enough, rehearsals are already underway. Set pieces and props clutter the entire place in various phases of painting and assembly. The bright, hot stage lights illuminate a solitary figure occupying one of the few available spaces on the stage. I really hope he's not the guy playing me.
It had to be you. It had to be you. I wandered around and wandered around and wandered around.
Wait. Stop. Just stop.
I'm sorry. Was I off key?
You were singing the same line over and over.
I was communicating the character's existential crisis by literally wandering around in circles. And given my knowledge of the subject, the character is probably drunk.
You are supposed to be crossing stage left as you sing.
I see no existential crisis over on stage left, but your direction is noted.
Actors. Whatever. Take it again from...
I need to talk to the writer. Wait, aren't you the weird gloomy ghost who tried to eat me last time we came in here? I thought we disincorporated you.
I'm reformed. Literally.
As long as you don't try to eat me again.
I'm also reformed metaphorically. No more eating people for me.
Just don't try anything. I've got my eye on you.
GD, you're here too?
Yes, I am. You're talking to the star of the show.
You don't look anything like me.
He's not playing you, Trog. He's playing me. Wait, you're playing me?
I was scouted for my abundant talent and charm, as well as my unique insight into your psyche, which I have gleaned through years of cultivating superior investigative skills.
Oh, you think your skills are superior to mine?
And what skills are those exactly?
He's a great listener.
Thank you, Zero. Yeah, I'm almost touched by your...
Because of his wiggly ears.
Don't encourage him.
I suspect I was also hired because I accept payment that does not include modern cash.
That makes sense in the most horrible way ever. In any case, I still need to talk to the writer.
Yeah, good luck with that. Valentine, just get to the next position and start from there.
You're trying to boss me around.
I'm not talking to you.
She's talking to me.
You don't look or sound anything like me.
Can't be that hard. Look at me, I'm Valentine. I have ridiculously human ears, and I like to use Cockney slang. I want to buy stuff, but all I've got is a deep sea diver. That means fiver.
Yes, I know.
Because you're broke.
Let me try. Sorry, Valentine.
Let's take it from the top.
Thank you, Myth Ghost. Alas! Alas and alack! This lovely woman is, in reality, my mortal enemy. Whatever will I do?
Stop. Just stop.
Okay, Zero Day, come look at this set.
Wow. Low budget production.
Of course it is. It just got written, yeah?
Weird. If I didn't know any better, I'd say it almost looks like a ritual setup. See the lines on the stage and the symbols on the curtains?
Except for the complete lack of magic flow, worst ritual setup ever.
I know, right? The mandala isn't even complete. Amateurs.
I don't hear singing or acting. Who are you and what are you doing on my stage? Why are you harassing the star of my show? You shouldn't even be here.
Their clothes are all bad polyester with loud prints. A fake silk scarf tied around their neck flutters ever so slightly with their bustling. They even have a cheap black beret perched on top of their head. There's something strange about them, though. They don't smell right. They're giving off inhuman, uncanny valley vibes. Okay, obviously they're not human if they're dealing with the supernaturals, but they're not shifter or goblin or vampire either. It's like they found a human skin somewhere and they've stretched it out over their frame in a hurry.
I won't tolerate interruptions on my set.
Great. This is never going to be over with.
Are you the writer?
Writer, producer, choreographer, composer, dramaturge, yes. Now, who are you?
I'm the guy whose life you ripped off to write this thing. And what's a dramaturg? I always wanted to know.
A likely story.
That I don't know what a dramaturg is?
Nobody knows what a dramaturg is. A dramaturge. I mean, it's a likely story that you, whomever you are, would be the subject of this play.
True story. Finn Valentine. My god.
Oh. Oh, my.
Can we get back to practice? I want to get the scene done so I can take a break.
Why don't you, go help the rest of the cast rehearse their lines?
They gesture off to the corner where I see a homely-looking crew attempting to read scripts. Ghosts, gremlins, low-rank goblins, and various beings that I'm pretty sure are only in the city by the good graces of some faction or another. One of them is clearly eating their script and... Hold on.
Alas! Alack! Tacos!
Is that Crow Brain over there?
It is indeed. He was told if he could get himself here, he could have a part.
He's just a disembodied head. How did he...
You don't want to know. Apparently, he's the understudy for the lead.
I'm naturally gifted.
You're a rotten head.
And songwriter. I wrote a song, wanna hear it?
Please don't.
Hit it.
Thank you, Crowbrain. Now, shoo, shoo. Between you and me, he's an awful songwriter and singer and actor. But he works for tacos and tacos are cheap. Now, Mr. Finn Valentine. May I call you Finn?
Call me Valentine. No, wait, only my friends call me Valentine. You can call me... You know what? That's what everyone calls me. Just tell me what in the nine hells is going on here.
Of course, of course. Let me introduce myself. I'm Avery Rice, though everyone simply calls me Avarice.
That's not ominous at all. You know, your voice is oddly familiar.
I heard you were quite the jokester.
I didn't make a joke.
Mr. Valentine, walk with me. Imagine, if you will, a packed theater, the lights shining brightly on the stage. Dozens, no, hundreds of supernatural denizens watching your story play out, and...
Where are we walking to? We're just going around in little circles.
That is the physical expression of your existential crisis.
I'm not having an existential crisis. At least I wasn't, till today.
It's all here in the script. At least I imagine it is. I haven't read through the whole thing yet.
This production is doomed.
All plays have some embellishment of some sort. But when they hear your name and your exploits, all coming from this spot, imagine what wonderful things that will do for your reputation. Not to mention your wallet.
You know, the more you talk, the slimier and shadier this whole thing gets. No deal. Find yourself a different story to tell and keep me out of it.
You're making a mistake. This play goes on, and the entire underbelly of the city will hear your voice. Possibly the entire supernatural world.
And I said no. I didn't have a hand in any of this. This isn't my voice. It's a bad copy of a copy.
Zero Day, something's wrong with this set. Something fishy. I don't like it.
I'm pretty sure that's Crowbrain, actually.
Gasp! Zero Day, the lines and symbols, the circular walk. I think this is a ritual.
What do you... makes me on a segue. We're in the middle of it. Move!
Valentine! GG!
There's a sound like splintering glass. A sickly black light spiderwebs across the entire stage. I try to pull my feet up, but they feel stuck to the floor. The air starts to vibrate around us as the familiar energy of abyssal magic starts to creep up from the stage. Avarice watches us as we struggle. They seem completely unaffected. What is this?
A trap, of course. Your voice is now mine. The voices of your friends will be a nice bonus.
By the sticks, I refuse to work for a cliché, especially one of your villainous sort.
GD is stuck fast, but he's able to reach over and tear one of his arms out of its socket, the duct tape once holding it in place still dangling from it like a demented band-aid. Extremely gross, by the way. He whips his detached limb at Avarice, who is already walking off stage. The arm tangles itself in their legs and knocks them sprawling to the floor. The twisted lines of black light buckle and smear under their impact. Then, almost in slow motion, the room is enveloped in a blaze of darkness.
No!
What's going on now? Great. I'm pretty sure this means I'm not getting paid. Or fed. Ugh.
What did you... What happened to my voice?
Ha! You sound like... Oh, gross, what happened to my voice?
Valentine, Zero, you swapped voices!
Miss Threadripper, I'm afraid they're not the only ones.
This could have been quick and relatively painless, but now you've ruined my spell. I guess this means we're doing things the hard way.
You have been listening to the Graveyard Tapes, The Great Dead Showstopper, Part 1 of 2. Written by Angela Dumalog. Edited by Aidan Morgan, Dustin Gray, and Nikki Ewart. Audio engineering by Robin of Psychonadia. Produced by Brianna Jean Toiber. With the voices of Chase Hunter as Valentine, Rick the Whitebird as Threadripper, Angela Dumalog as Zero Day, Pam Hernandez as Gloomy Ghost, Lamar Harris as the Great Dead Detective, Erica LG as Avarice, and Robin of Psychonadia as Crowbrain.